All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
I'm Dr. Priyanka Wally, medical doctor and stand-up comedian.
And I'm Sean Hayes, actor and hypochondriac. It's safe to say that I'm not America's first hypochondriac, but I am America's first hypochondriactor. Hi, Priyanka.
Hey, Sean. Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing fabulous. You know, this is holiday season. And
yes.
It's all getting busy.
It's busy. You know, it's the week of Thanksgiving. And
yes.
We want to do something special for this episode. So we have two guests that will be joining us for a pre-Thanksgiving meal. But
yes.
before that, we're going to eat. We're going to eat, actually, while we're recording, which is going to be fun.
What a nice change, right?
It's a nice change.
I have a question for you. Do you prefer performing on a full stomach or an empty stomach?
Could you imagine? No, my God. I have a PSP before I perform in anything, before I shoot a scene in a movie or TV show, or before I shoot a play. A PSP is a pre-show poop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you can't perform if you haven't.
That's right.
If you haven't but released your
I don't have a choice,
poop.
By the way.
So it's just part of the routine.
Yeah, it's anxiety. I poop before every single show.
Well, you could label it anxiety. A positive spin would be, you know, you're in the flow, right?
That's
before
right.
You perform.
That's
right.
Right. Right. But I did want to say this because it's Thanksgiving week. I wanted to say how thankful I am for you.
Oh my gosh, Sean.
Because
the feeling is so mutual.
Yes.
I mean, like, first of all, I am so grateful that you and Hazy Mills decided to take a chance on a little doctor that does stand-up comedy.
Well,
you know,
I'm just
so grateful.
I know, likewise. And I just want to say, everybody that listens to the podcast or knows you or knows us or knows anything about you raves about how wonderful of a human being you are, and you need to know that. And you have lots of fans, especially, I'm your biggest fan, by the way.
And
I love you very dearly.
I think you are an incredible
human being. And my life is so much better these last 2 years, I think, with you in it. And I look forward to seeing you. It's all true stuff.
Well, thank you. I'm so, like, touched. It's just so, thank you so much.
I love you because I don't say that about anybody.
Oh, man, Sean, the feeling is so, so mutual. I just love you to bits. I mean, I just think you're so smart and so funny and so talented
and so
generous. And I have learned so much from you.
Likewise.
And just observing you and the advice you've given me since we've met. I mean, the feeling is so mutual. There's nothing but gratitude here
in this episode. Great. I love it. And guess what?
What?
We're going to introduce Our two guests coming on.
Yeah, which I'm so excited about. And we've never done an episode where we've actually been eating while doing the episode.
And there's a reason for it.
I can't wait to talk about.
Because the two people we're going to bring on have a podcast called Eating Out with Eric and Steven.
Yes.
And it's Eric McCormick and Steven Weber.
Yes.
So this holiday, it's all about eating and spending time with friends and family. So we thought it'd be best to bring friends on the show, right?
Yes.
So you know them from a million... You know, credits,
everything
from the stage and the screen and everything. Please welcome our dear friends, Eric McCormick and Steven Weber. We love them.
Yay.
Oh, look, there he is.
There's Eric.
Where's Steven?
Where's Steven?
Steven.
Where's Steven?
Hi, youngish people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I didn't mean you. We just met. I didn't mean you. I meant Sean.
Oh, Steven, so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Guys, this is actually happening. All right, so listen. First of all, when we started today, I was like, are we on their podcast? Are they on our podcast?
I know.
Like,
it's
I didn't
surreal.
Understand. So, first of all, hi, Eric. I love you. Hi, Steven. I love you. This is Priyanka Wally. She's the most brilliant doctor in the face of the planet.
Well, Eric, we've already met, but
we had a great time. That was last year.
I know. That was really nice.
I can't remember. Are you Dr. Wally or are you Priyanka?
You can call me Priyanka.
All right.
You can call me whatever you want.
Steven, it's Dr. Wally to you.
Tell me about this podcast first. Tell people about it so they know what it is. And then we'll get it. Look, and then while you're telling people,
while you're talking,
I'm going to eat my lunch.
We will be eating.
Yeah.
So.
Eat my lunch. Do you need help opening the can, Dr. P?
Huh? There you go. Did you hear that? That's a one-time deal.
Good. First, I'm going to eat a hard-boiled egg while you tell us what your show is.
There's a whole fetish network for that.
No.
So Stephen and I have known each other forever, about as long as I've known you, Shawnee. And but when we didn't do a show together, although he did do a Will and Grace. For those that are listening, he did play my brother on Will and Grace.
One of the more memorable episodes, as I
recall. Yeah. But back then, we would just...
What's your last name, Steve?
I don't know.
Okay. Shawnee.
It does get confusing as time goes on. But we just eat together a lot. And then one day, it wasn't even that long ago, Stephen said, I'm having dinner with Alfred Molina and Lawrence Fishburne. And would you, you know, join us? And I was like, are you kidding? And we had this great dinner, and Spencer Garrett was there, and it just started to grow. And so over the last few years, Stephen and I have had this sort of cadre of fantastic character actors that we loved eating with. And we realized that the conversation that would happen at these dinners only happened there. That it
was just you can talk about the food.
You can talk about the food. You can talk about anything. And also, there was always that thing we could sense that people would look over and they couldn't quite believe this strange combination of characters they'd seen from television eating together. And they would lean in and you'd see them asking their waiters, what are they talking about?
By the way, yeah, exactly. And by the way, on Will and Grace, Stephen, I don't know if you did this on Wings, but Jimmy Burrows directed every episode of Will and Grace. And every opening scene had to do with food.
Yeah.
Because everybody eats and everybody drinks. Like, so if there was a stall or something, we didn't know what to do. He's like, go to the kitchen and get something to eat. We're like, what? Yeah. He's like, that's what people do.
Will was always making something in the kitchen, and Jack was always walking in and stealing food from the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And there was always something going around the table. It lends itself to it. So when Stephen and I started talking about what kind of, let's do a podcast together, what would it be? You know, he said, let's do what we do with our lads.
I mean, and P.S., there's so many podcasts all over the place. How can we distinguish ours? How can we distinguish ours from, you know, the run of the mill, run of the mill kind of podcast?
Nice.
And how can we differentiate? Nice. And we says to ourselves, let's chew. Let's make chewing sounds.
Yeah.
And we did a couple of, I would say, test runs.
Yeah.
It was too chewy, and then it was not chewy enough, and we think we've found the proper balance of saliva, chomping,
clattering.
Yeah, we like when people don't answer the question that we ask until they've got food in their mouth.
Do you make the guests sign waivers for any potential choking hazards for being on your podcast?
No, if it bleeds, it leads, Doc. If we choke, we just keep recording.
You're such a dumb.
Yes, no, so far, obviously the intention was, wouldn't it be great if we could be in a restaurant together? Yeah. Well, it's very hard to do still mid-COVID. So it's been on Zoom, but we encourage everyone to bring whatever they want, literally, to the table. And so it's
Let's discuss. All right, so first of all, why don't we go back to it, when Steven is like, so I says, when people make plural words like that, it reminds me, so when I was, my dad, when I was little, he'd be like, use twos.
Use twos
needs to get out of here. I'm like, where did that come from? How did that start? Go.
It's a requirement to be in a gang or eventually in the witness protection program. You have to say
Irish people from Chicago. I mean, that's what everybody.
And anyways gets me nuts.
Anyways.
And people will write it. Anyways.
No.
Even just anyway makes me crazy. Whenever somebody begins a sentence with anyway.
It's basically
just saying everything I'd said previous to this sentence is garbage. I was wasting your time.
Or, well, how about this? When people begin answers with, so, you know what I mean? So how did you do XYZ?
Yeah.
So what happened was, and in fact, I think NPR did a whole segment on the sewing, as it were, of the English language. What are you eating, Doc?
Okay, so...
Anyway. Doc, so, what are you eating?
Okay. Anyway, I'm eating...
Anyways.
I got lamb and green beans.
Oh, God, of course you do.
What do you mean, of course I do?
Well, I mean, it's like lamb and green beans.
Not salmon, lamb.
No, I said lamb and... I got a carrot in my mouth.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so boring.
So you're eating
healthy,
too. And then
I have some yellow lentils that I'm sipping on after...
Wow.
Are you really truly eating lunch now, or did you save it for the show?
No, that I could not hold out to our recording time. Yeah. I had to snag a few pieces of lamb prior because I was like, there's no way.
I'm really truly eating lunch right now.
Oh, my goodness. So you're legitimately hungry.
I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah. Jesus.
I have veggies with ranch.
And do you take it to work in a Partridge Family lunchbox?
No, I'm not that dumb. It's an A-team lunchbox.
Oh, you caught me.
Your chef makes the greatest peanut butter sandwiches.
Thank you. She's pretty great.
She's pretty great.
Okay, so wait. Let's talk about Thanksgiving and traditions.
Wait, what are you drinking, Sean? Do you have anything to drink?
Let me tell you something. They're not a sponsor of the show, but they should be. It's
Hint Water.
Oh, you have
Hint Water. Okay, I'm doing Sound. I don't know if you know about Sound. They're another sparkling water company.
That's a beautiful can.
I invested in them, actually. I think they're wonderful. They are not sponsoring this podcast.
I'm drinking fart water. And it's like Hint and Sound, but it's made with farts. It tickles somebody fart, and it gives it a little hint.
I worry about the branding on that one.
Farts. Wait, well, it's P-H-A-R-T-Z.
Nuh-uh, that's not really it.
Come on, guys. What are you doing to me?
What is it? Trader Joe's or something?
No, guys. This is comedy. What's happening to you? Yeah, Trader Joe's sells seltzer that says farts on it. Actually, not a bad idea.
It could be a German word with an umlaut over the, yeah, you know, the A.
Farts.
You said it's so real. Eric, what are you eating?
Well, this is gonna look hilarious. I was dying for a protein shake, like a chocolate vanilla peanut buttery protein. So that's what I did. Look at this. I drank all that for two
of
myself.
Oh my goodness.
So it doesn't make a lot
like
of good.
That's like 18 ounces.
I know. Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of good sounds on the podcast, but.
Well, except for the farting sounds.
Yeah.
Oh, it will in about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You were asking about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, why not? Because everybody has, well, I got peanut butter jelly.
I mean, this is hilarious. Okay, this is what we're talking about, how we had to sort of figure out how to regulate our chewing.
Right.
And I love that, you know, Sean actually requires a learning curve when it comes to eating on.
Sure, because it's peanut butter. Peanut butter stuff.
We can't understand a word you're saying.
Okay, well, open your ears. Listen.
Oh, my God. Angry.
Listen. I got to say, okay.
Don't eat angry.
No, oops. Listen. So this is it.
Almost lost the lamb there.
Everybody has nightmare Thanksgiving stories. Mm. I don't have like nightmare Thanksgiving stories other than, you know, I just have like one simple little one, which was when I was sitting next to my sister. It was a big group of people. It was seven of us. There was maybe two. What's so funny?
I'm was thinking that? Of,
what?
Just go ahead. I'm thinking of the farts joke and how brilliant it was. But go ahead.
Well, hang on to that one. Don't, you know, we can cut it out here and use it later for yourself. But anyway, so I look over my sister, she's eating mashed potatoes with peas. Like, I love mashed potatoes with peas. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, me too. I'm 100% there.
Right, you put the peas in the mashed potatoes and mix it
God,
all up.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
yes.
Like carb on carb.
Oh.
Carb on carb action. And so Tracy, my sister, she goes, she starts laughing so hard at something somebody said, and corn. Like three or four pieces of corn came shooting out of her nose into her mashed potatoes, paused, ate them up.
Oh.
She just took the whole thing.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, we were children.
Oh,
we
my
were children.
God.
That's my Thanksgiving story.
The pilgrims would be proud.
That's like a new definition of creamed corn.
Oh, that's
oh my
horrible.
God.
The pilgrims. Maize. It was amazing.
They'd be amazing.
I'm as you know, I'm Canadian, so we didn't. Our Thanksgiving is a month earlier, and B isn't quite as gigantic a fly across the country to be with your family event as it is down here. But we would have a turkey,
yeah,
and all that stuff. And I remember when I left home. I went to a Shakespeare festival for my sort of mid-20s. And it was the first time I was living with a couple of other guys, and we're like, we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner. It's Thanksgiving. We're going to do it.
Yeah, God
and
damn it.
Fancy. But somebody came up with the brilliant idea of a pot stuffing.
What does that mean?
You mean like marijuana?
It was marijuana stuffing.
Like edibles?
Yeah, but this is in 1987, so I mean, edibles back then meant you just opened the bag and you put the weed in your mouth. So we put it literally into the stuffing of a turkey, and first of all, tasted horrible. Absolutely terrible.
God.
But then we had everyone had this body stone, this that was not, it was not pleasant. It was not, you weren't high. You were, in fact, strangely low, like you'd become cement. Right, and that happens on Thanksgiving anyway.
I would just think it would make you more hungry. Yeah, that's wild.
We used to cook. We used to cook for a bunch of people. And I decided one year, I had about maybe 10 people over, I'm going to do something different. And I guess more traditional in that I was going to cook a goose. Never cooked a goose. It's the fabled goose, the Dickensian goose. And I got a goose and followed the recipe and had everything made, cranberry sauce and stuffing and everything. And we cut into the goose and it's like cutting into mud. Because goose,
oh my gosh,
what you think it is, it's all dense, dark, proteinous. God.
Like duck.
It makes duck look like a light aspic, if you will, or a farts. Trader Joe light fizzy water.
Yeah, no.
Light, like, yeah. No, it was so dense. At 5 minutes of trying to swallow goose meat was enough to ruin a Thanksgiving, and that was it. That was the Thanksgiving that never was.
Well, what made you want to do a goose? Really got your goose. What made you do a goose?
Just to break up the... you know, just to break it up. Just to break up the tradition.
Yeah, if it ain't broken.
Don't goose it. Good night, everyone.
We are supported by Aura Frames. Sean, do you take about a million photos?
Of myself, yes.
Only to let them sit in your phone or get lost in your files?
Yes.
Yeah, same here. What if you could put all your photos from random camera roll pics to that high-res wedding album onto one gorgeous frame? You can with Aura Frames.
How great is Aura Frames? I have one. I did that exact same thing you just said, and it's so nice. I don't have clinical OCD, but I was like, I love being organized and all that, and it's in this one gorgeous Aura Frame, and I can look at it anytime I want. I love it.
Every Aura Frame is thoughtfully designed to fit any decor style, with a stunning HD display, unlimited storage, super easy setup, and no fees.
Simply connect your Aura Frame to Wi-Fi and use the free Aura app to add endless pics and videos from anywhere in the world.
Invite family and friends on the app and have them comment, heart, and send new photos to your frame. It's like a real-life social network that brings you and your loved ones joy every single day.
Love it.
Give yourself the gift of time and check off a few of those names on your list a little early. From now through Black Friday and Cyber Monday, listeners can get up to $50 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frame.
Just go to auraframes.com/actor. That's auraframes.com/actor. These are Aura's lowest prices ever, so get yours now before they sell out. Terms and conditions apply. We are supported by Green Chef. Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company. Green Chef makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences.
Honestly, Sean, I love using Green Chef as a gift to other people in my life who are really busy and don't have time to cook.
Yes.
It's such a nice way to extend care to people.
They've expanded their menu. They're going from 24 to 30 recipes weekly with the option to mix and match meals from different dietary preferences in the same box without changing your plan. Order vegan one day, keto the next, you know what I'm saying?
Green Chef is the only meal kit that is carbon and plastic offset. They offset 100% of their carbon footprint as well as 100% of the plastic in every box.
With Green Chef, you're reducing your food waste by at least 23% versus grocery shopping.
Go to greenchef.com/hypo599 and use code hypo599 to get $5.99 per meal on your first box, and your first box ships free. That's greenchef.com/hypo599 and use code hypo599 to get $5.99 per meal on your first box, and your first box ships free. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
Well said, Priyanka.
For me, okay, so I didn't actually, again, my parents immigrated here to the United States in the early 80s. I was born in the U.S., but I spent some really early formative years in India. So I didn't actually learn about Thanksgiving until I was about, I think, 4 or 5 in school.
Yeah.
And they're like teaching us in school that you have this turkey and you have something called a cornucopia. And at the time I was like, what the hell is going on? So I remember coming home and telling my mom, like, Mom, there's this thing, it's called Thanksgiving, and we're supposed to cook a turkey, and we're supposed to have a cornucopia, and we're supposed to be grateful. And it was all the you know, the colonial marketing. And so my mom's like, absolutely, you know, I will make turkey. And so the next day, she makes like
she makes
chopped
lamb.
Turkey. Yeah, she makes it lamb style. She makes Kashmiri style turkey. And she's like, Priyanka, I'm so happy to show you. Here's the turkey. And I'm expecting to see, you know, the holiday card, beautiful turkey. And she lifts up this crock pot and I see these pieces of turkey.
I bet it was delicious.
It was actually really good.
Of course, it would be great.
As an Indian kid growing up in the United States, just trying to adapt and fit in, I was just like, oh, God, we have so much work to fit in. But now, you know, now I'm like, whatever.
Well, Stephen, of course it was delicious because from a goose, the only way is up.
I have to tell my favorite Thanksgiving story, which I just remembered, and it has to do with the cornucopia.
Yeah.
And it was, Sean, we'd just begun the show. We'd maybe done 9 episodes, and Deborah and I were invited to be in the Macy's parade in New York. And so, oh my gosh, we're up at 5 o'clock in the morning and it's pouring rain. It's the worst, coldest, rainiest Thanksgiving on record. And they put us on top of a giant cornucopia.
I remember.
Flo, do you remember this?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're slowly through the thing. And Janet, my wife, is like sort of following us all the way along the parade route as we get rained on and we're huddling each other. And we're waving, and people, at least once, people would someone shout out something at us, and we'd go, hi, what, we can't hear you. And this guy yelled really loud, who the fuck are you? And we said, we're Will and Grace. And the show had been on the air for a month. And he was like, who the fuck are Will and Grace?
Nice. So nice.
I love that. Sweet. Huge fans.
What sweet fans?
Wait, I want to talk but Stephen, you've never been on here. Tell me, what's the worst medical thing that happened to you?
Oh my God. What's the worst medical thing that happened to me?
Like any surgeries or ER visits?
The show.
Well, no, not yet. the jury's out. But I've actually been kind of serious illness adjacent. I myself have never been hospitalized. Never broken anything. I've never had any things,
nothing internal, nothing internal, like
no.
With your heart. Wow.
No, but I mean, the thing that I was thinking about that I would bring to you, sage, wise people, is that I have encountered a kind of body dysmorphia over the years, you know, like
really?
As I age, and yeah, I'm aging. No, I am. I'm aging.
No one's fighting you on that.
I'm aging. And when I look into the mirror, I think, hey, what's my mother doing here? Oh, no, that's me. and you know, my mother is 85 and she looks great, but I'm not 85. I'm not an 85-year-old Jewish woman yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so in a way, the thing that has kind of monopolized my psyche is this kind of fear of aging, loss of elasticity, a kind of a to the point where even when Eric is talking to me, he'll say, stop it, or you look fine, or what's wrong with you, or I wish I had such the build, and oh my God, you're gorgeous.
I don't say that as much as I used to.
Wow, it's a long conversation, yeah.
I also have Eric dysmorphia as well. I think he's telling me something. I mean, that's the extent of it, and maybe I'm just being vain, but I actually think it's something. It's something that is maybe emotionally driven.
Are you interested, Stephen, in unpacking that a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit, sure.
I am.
Do you know at what point you started to have these kinds of thoughts around being conscious about your age? Is this a new phenomenon, or is this something you've dealt with for a long time?
I mean, I guess once I started, talking about our old TV shows, Heroes of the 90s and all that stuff, you know, once Wings was over and I was, you know, well into my 40s and, you know, cruising towards 50, I guess it started in my 50s. And again, I sound like I'm a baby or something like that, but something started to shift once I started noticing a loss of elasticity, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the face that I had concentrated on and took for granted was starting to, I guess, betray me because of genetics and because of gravity and just because the passing of time and also maybe too much sun. And I began to become more conscious of it. Not to the point where I want to get physical alterations. Do you think I could use that?
Yeah. Use it, but just consider it. But wait, I was just going to say, I was going to say, isn't it fun? I love when mean people write, like, certain actors or whatever, people, politicians or anybody in the public eye, they say, wow, have you seen them lately? They look so old. And I feel like saying, yeah, because we're older.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you get older. You look older.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. And I think, you know, one of the things that we need to acknowledge in our society is that it really is not a safe place to age in the society we live in. We idolize youth.
Yeah.
We turn it into this sort of never-ending goal of just getting younger and younger. The anti-aging movement, the anti-aging biohacking model, all of it. It sort of pathologizes this idea that aging is a disease. But the reality is it's a very natural part of life, you know?
And you told me the term anti-aging is so weird because you can't not age.
Yeah.
Like, no product is anti-aging.
It's an oxymoron.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think in people that experience hormonal menopause, you know, that's a natural change in life. We're taking normal transitions in life and we're really pathologizing them.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's about expectations too. They have changed so much. And I think social media is a giant piece of why. We now, there's no reason for a man your age, Stephen, to have tremendous expectations of looking 35, but we all do. We all buy anti-aging products and we work out a lot because we don't want to look like our fathers did at our age. My father was a handsome man, but he looked his age.
Yeah.
And we're not allowed to, certainly, in this business. And it's not just that we don't allow ourselves, it's the society in general is like, oof, yeesh.
Yeah.
What
happened to you?
Yeah, and I think, you know, in many indigenous tribes, indigenous cultures, you know, there was an honor to being an elder.
Right.
There was this sort of connotation that this is a person who's wiser. This is someone we need to seek advice from. This is someone we need to honor.
Yeah, I love that.
I don't see that anymore. I mean, we make lots of jokes about people who are older. We bring them down. We insult them. And that's really unfortunate.
It speaks to a kind of a larger, almost a fringe issue about accepting oneself.
Absolutely.
About accepting oneself and the inevitability of decay is a bad word, but aging, of progressing to the point where, you know, it's a struggle for me, and this is maybe getting back to the unpacking the psychological components in this particular issue, about self-acceptance and mortality and vanity and, you know, and monitoring all that so that I don't go insane by focusing too much on it. And by making expensive mistakes, by thinking I can alter the trajectory of my skin, you know, not trajectory, you know, but look at my skin. By doing something that, could effectively ruin my chances at finding work. And to the point where it's anomalous to see somebody who's legitimately old, you know, and not to drop a name, but I know Mel Brooks. Now, Mel Brooks is legitimately old looking, like old world old guy, like holy shit. He's 95, but he's not even like an LA 95 where he's had work done. And he looks like an old, you know, the Eastern European people you used to look like in my family, like basically a bag of laundry with some hair and, you know, some teeth that they may be teeth, they might be popsicle sticks. I don't know what's going on. And there's something beautiful about it. You know, Maggie Smith. You know, it was amazing and is amazing.
Harry Potter.
That type of thing. But we have to, it's hard to embrace that given the pressures that the culture imposes.
Well, the number of times that I've heard a casting director say, get me a young Steven Weber.
Right. Yeah.
and your response was, get me a young Steven Weber.
No, I usually say, I can get you Steven Weber, and they will just laugh and go, no. Someone young.
Yeah.
Was this for your puppet theater project that you were trying to
Yes, and it's still going to happen.
Okay, yeah,
you can laugh
somebody,
at me.
They just need somebody agile to move the puppets. They don't want to see your face.
I think, Stephen, you're bringing up such a good point, and I think it's important to remember that having the courage to love and accept yourself for who you are in this cultural milieu, it's a tremendous act of courage to do that because there's so much energy against that perspective.
Yeah, so true. And also it's an exhausting way to live if you are constantly mm-hmm. thinking about, should I change this? Should I change that? You know, as yeah. opposed to surrendering to the process of aging and let it happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
We are supported by Athletic Greens. So everybody knows, I talk about this a lot. I wake up in the morning, I got things to do, I start working right away, and I don't have a lot of time, and I want to stay healthy, so I got rid of all my like supplements that are in a row on top of my kitchen counter. It just took up space, it took up time and energy to take the thing. That's why I use AG1. I love it. I love the convenience of it, I love the taste of it, and I sent it to a couple family and friends of mine, and they love it too. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/hypo. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/hypo to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
I was just thinking about casting. You know, when we were, at least when I was coming up, it felt like shows were about older people. Everything yeah. was about, you know, Columbo and Macmillan Way. They're all people that were full grown adults. And what chance did I have? And that switched somehow in the course of, as I was aiming to be 30 so I could get on 30 something, suddenly everything became Beverly Hills 90210 and it was everything was yeah. about 18 and 19 year olds.
Right.
But now, when I think of that example, I look back and go, God, if they came out with a new 30-something, I'm 30 years too old for it.
That's right.
So strange.
Yeah,
it's there's no strange. Chance.
You know what else is interesting? So the Golden Girls and Hot in Cleveland, which is the show that we yes. produce. Right. So when Golden Girls, when
I
they
know
were
going to say,
okay, say it. Say.
Yeah.
Well, that when they started, like we're all older than the Golden Girls were then when that show started.
That's right. Yeah. So the women. The gorgeous women of Hot in Cleveland
right.
were older when they shot Hot in Cleveland than the gorgeous girls of Golden Girls were when they shot. But yeah. but the Golden Girls looked older because they didn't dye their hair, they didn't do this, they didn't do that, whatever. Yeah. And the same thing's with guys too. It's not a women thing. I'm just making a comment on how we perceive age now, right? And yeah. when people joke and say 30 is the new 40, 40 is the new 50, 50 is the new, and then even in the pilot of Hot in Cleveland, but she goes, one of the characters says to Betty White, then what's 50? And she goes, it's still 50, you know, or something like that.
Dr. Wally, do you encounter when you if you're talking to somebody or diagnosing somebody or assessing mm-hmm. somebody, does something like this factor into even something that is like a real biological condition, like a real physical ailment? Is there the psychological okay. acceptance of self or acceptance of that there's something wrong with them and they're sick? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, anyways. Yeah. So, I mean, there can be sometimes some medical causes of premature aging. You know, once you rule out those sort of medical causes and you're left with the human being who has no medical reason for premature aging, but really the only treatment is to accept themselves for who they are,
right.
accept the body that they're in and loving that for what it is and taking care of it. You know, that's when you then really do the deeper work of, you know, what is really coming up here for the yeah. individual? You know, what is being triggered within them that is causing the distress? And, you know, according to which school of thought you talk to, I mean, a lot of times it comes down to childhood trauma, usually something that happened in the first 7 years of life that had a profound impact on the person to later, decades later, trigger them about some issue.
And we talked about this on the show before. Everybody has had some level of trauma.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Even if you had, let's say, the perfect childhood without any attachment disruptions, living in the world that we're in today, you're at least going to be susceptible to the collective trauma if you're at least even paying remotely attention to what's going on in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, trauma isn't what happens to you. trauma is what happens inside of you. So, for example, the four of us could all go through the same quote unquote traumatic event, but the impact might be significantly different. One of us might not be impacted at all. Someone might be completely destabilized.
Yeah.
And it's really a function of what's going on within the person.
Let's use this episode as an example of that.
Exactly. I was going to say, hey guys, isn't she dumb? Anyway.
And what about Eric's fear of hypochondria?
Yeah. Oh.
He has a fear about... About being a hypochondriac.
Maybe. You do?
Maybe. Well, I mean, that's the last time I was on, we talked about strange addiction to nasal mist.
No, I know, but I mean, that's different. That's different
than having a...
Do you want to
unpack that? Your fear of hypochondria? We don't have to if you're not comfortable.
No, because this is the Thanksgiving episode. We're going to wrap it up soon. And I want to talk about... We're not talking about anybody in the BS anymore. So I want to just ask you guys... So I want to talk about what you guys are grateful for. And do you go around the dinner table at Thanksgiving, and do you do the thing where everybody has to speak what they're thankful for? Because I think that's really good and really important. We should do more of it, but a lot of people wait till Thanksgiving.
I agree. We
what
have
about
done that.
Like the airing of the grievances, like in Seinfeld, where you just go around and say what the other person, how they wronged you?
That's
like,
Festivus. That's the holiday Festivus.
Is that Festivus?
That's Festivus
for the rest of us.
I did that in college. It ended in disaster. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, are we saying what we're grateful for?
Yeah, no. I got the answer. We don't have to do that. Well, I was just going to say, do you go around the table at Thanksgiving? It's good that you do that.
Yeah, we generally have. When Janet makes a big old turkey and all the stuffing and et cetera, she definitely wants to do everything, including tremendous gratitude. And that's always nice.
That's sweet. Yeah.
And Stephen, do your people celebrate Thanksgiving?
No, we don't. Okay, we honor it by ignoring it. No, sure. My people. Yeah, I mean, it's an occasion to get together and voice gratitude, give voice to gratitude. And while my sons always rolled their eyes and was always annoying as we had to kind of clasp hands and go around the table, I think at the end of the day, it will prove to have been valuable when I'm not here anymore. They don't have their father anymore. You know, I'm guilty.
Hey, I want to ask you something about Christmas while we're in the show. It just popped in my head, and then we're going to get to the game. But Christmas, do you guys feel like Christmas is different now than we were kids? What I mean by that is, I don't know, because of the pandemic, and does it feel... like it's less celebratory or more people aren't celebrating it as much, or am I making that up?
Well, can I from just my medical perspective, it's my view that people, the stress of the holiday season actually worsens people's illnesses.
Yeah.
Whether it's the stress of like, oh, I have to cook Thanksgiving dinner for the whole family, or I have to get the gifts or whatever, or just the culture of it and how it's sort of pervasive.
That's kind of what I mean about like the shopping and the thing. It's like, maybe because we're older, I'm saying this, but it's like, gosh, everybody can get one gift and I ordered it on Amazon. Like, I'm not making a thing, but I still wrap it and everything. I don't know what I'm saying.
It's still also, it's not the same country it was. We're also very that's aware now. That, you know, half the population has no interest in it religiously.
Yeah.
So we don't, and they don't force us to celebrate their religious holidays. So I feel like it's whatever you attach it
tradition.
To. I think for a lot of people now, certainly for me, because I'm not religious, it's just whatever little bits and pieces are still make me happy. I mean, if Janet, my wife, is the one that really wants to always make Christmas what it was for her, I probably would be the person that went, let's go on a trip. And you know, so a lot of the trappings of it, I don't watch the movies with the same desire as I
do. I get sucked in. I love it. We decorate, we do watch the movies, we do all that stuff.
I watched The Nightmare Before Christmas, Burton's film. I love that one. Yeah.
Stephen, I cook a delicious, rich goose.
A melt.
By the way, so smart. Just keep basting it. I'm sure it'll come out great.
Brother, eventually. It will never be what we think it is.
No,
what we think it's supposed to be. It's disgusting.
But you know what the opposite of a goose is? A game.
Very nice, Sean. This is Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. each of you, each three of you, are going to get three questions each. And if you don't know the answers, guess, because I'll give you points for creativity if they're creative enough. So Sean's going to go first, and then we're going to do Stephen and then Eric.
Okay.
So Sean, first three questions for you. Are you ready?
Yes, born.
Okay. Dyspepsia is the medical term for what uncomfortable feeling? Dyspepsia. Let me know if you want me to spell it.
When you sit on a can of Pepsi. Yeah. I don't know.
Uncomfortable feeling.
Not correct, but I will give you a point for creativity
on
that.
Wait, what is it? What you're just asking me what dyspepsia is?
Yeah, what's dyspepsia?
Well, it sounds like Pepcid, which is acid. So maybe it's like an acid thing in your stomach or something?
Very good. Yeah, it's the medical term for difficult digestion or indigestion. It's
I totally guessed at that.
Yeah, when you have abdominal pain or bloating, that's dyspepsia.
I got it from the word Pepcid, AC.
Very good.
All right, there you go.
That's wonderful. Okay, second question for Sean. Which film is this famous line from? Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Oh, well, of course that is, oh my God.
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Well, that has to be from The Leprechaun. No. oh my God, isn't it?
Oh, come on.
I want to say Gone with the Wind, but
that's correct. It is Gone with the Wind. Okay.
By the way, never saw it.
Oh, really?
Still never saw it.
Wow. Okay.
That and The Godfather. Okay, good.
Right. I know about The Godfather.
There's no excuse for the second one. You have to see The Godfather.
By the way, Scotty just got on 4K. All of them we're going to watch.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Third question. In the pilot episode of Will and Grace, who did Grace say knew your character Jack was gay the first time they met?
I mean, Jack's mom, I guess.
That is incorrect. It was her dog.
Her dog. My dog knew.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's
my
right.
Dog knew. Okay. That's hysterical. So you got two questions, two. Sean. Very
all right,
nice.
Good. That's pretty
okay,
good.
Okay, Stephen, you're up next.
Are
you ready?
This is very competitive.
I sure am.
Okay, great. All right, first question. Named after a physician who published a paper describing a specific maneuver that would prevent choking in humans, what is the name of this maneuver?
Well, the Priyanka Wally maneuver, of course. press her stomach, she throws up a Heimlich. She Heimlichs a guy.
Heimlich maneuver. Very good. By Henry Heimlich. Okay, second question. What is it called when a bottle of champagne is opened with a sword?
Oh,
what?
Sabrage.
That is correct. Sabrage is the correct answer.
Sabrage. How do you know? Why do you know that? And why do you speak?
That's
why is it
how
French?
Do you know that?
Why the French flair?
Because after the goose, the failure of the goose, we moved on to the champagne and we began sabraging all the champagne. Sabrage.
Really cool.
You do it with a saber because it was opened with a saber.
I just know these things.
I love that. Okay, third question. Which two characters are you credited with voicing in Batman versus Two-Face?
Oh. I have two characters?
Yes.
I know Alfred the Butler.
That's correct, yes.
And Henry Heimlich, who calls up Bat Guano.
So
Sebastian Sabrage.
And a Two-Face henchman.
His name was Two-Face henchman.
Okay, so you got actually 2.5 points because you got Alfred, so and Heimlich and Sabrage. Okay,
who's
so you've
other?
Already
wait, what was,
beaten
wait, what was the other character? What was the other
character? It's called Two-Face henchman was the name of the other character.
Okay, got it.
You know, so unfair. Go on to Eric, please. This is leaving a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, you beat me. You got 2.5.
You're winning. I got to get 3 to beat.
Two-Face henchman.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, Eric, are you ready? Okay. What gram-negative bacteria is one of the most common bacterial causes of foodborne illness in the United States, causing 1.4 million infections in the United States per year?
He'll never get it!
Oh, my God. So, bacterial foodborne illness.
Foodborne.
Yeah.
Yes. Salmonella.
That is correct. Salmonella is
By the
correct.
Way, that is a great drag name.
Salmonella?
Yeah.
Or Salmonella?
Salmonella.
Hello, I'm Sabrage Salmonella.
Hey, Sabrage Salmonella, and I'm Two-Face Henchman.
Two-Face Henchman last looked out on the feast of Stephen. Okay, that's one. I'm one for one.
Second question. In Canada, there is a popular candy made of chocolate, but in the United States, the same name is used for a different candy altogether that does not contain chocolate. What is the name of the candy with two identities?
Ooh.
So one in Canada is chocolate, and here it's not chocolate, but it's the
yes,
same name?
Yes, they have the same name.
Wow. Here it is not chocolate.
I have a guess.
But and
it's a,
there
it's not your
is
turn.
Chocolate. payday.
That, is that all you can think about?
That is incorrect.
Skittles? Is it Skittles or something?
Yeah, let's give him a hint. Yeah, let's do a hint.
So I read that Canadians think that this chocolate is better than M&M's.
Oh, okay.
I know what it is.
Hold on.
Can I give a hint?
Yeah, no, just let me think for a second. Jesus.
God. Payday. That's all you care about. Payday.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
What is it?
I cannot remember.
You know, use your intelligence.
Right.
Eric, you know what I mean? Use your brains, is what I'm saying. You're a really intelligent, very smart guy.
Smarties is the answer.
Oh, yes. Smarties.
Yes.
Smarties.
Okay. So you get that. Okay. Last question, Eric. You can win it all. Just let me finish chewing this.
See, it's not easy. Minute. Look, eating out with Eric and Steve is not, it's not an easy show.
We know how to eat and talk.
This is harder than med school. Okay. Third question.
The lamb?
On the TV show Will and Grace, what was your character Will's favorite game show?
Oh yeah.
Oh, for the love of God.
Oh, come on. You played it. My favorite game show.
This was one particular episode, was it? Game show.
No, but you played it in the pilot and you played it a lot.
Well, I guess we would play charades. Charades. I can't remember what the game was.
TV game show? Match game?
Yeah, it was a game show.
Yeah, on the show.
I think I have a guess. I might not be right, but I have a guess.
Okay. I don't have a guess. I can't remember.
Is it a $100,000 pyramid?
Yeah. $10,000 pyramid.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I have no memory of that. That's like a Bill Shatner moment.
Okay. If we want to get technical, I think Steven and Eric have sort of tied. So we're going to go into tiebreaker round. First person to answer correctly or close enough wins. Okay. So are you ready?
Okay.
Which movie is this quote from?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. John! Okay.
Those count. So now I automatically go.
No. Okay. Which movie is this quote from? Here's looking at you, kid.
Well, Casablanca. Ooh, look, we did it exactly the same time.
Oh my God. This is unprecedented.
Okay, so everybody wins.
Congratulations. You are both in Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame.
You guys, congratulations. So don't forget to check out their show. It's coming out in the new year. Eric McCormick and Stephen Weber, I love you both. Thank you for being here. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, guys. And thank you, Doctor.
Oh, thank you so much. So nice to see you again, Eric. And so nice to meet you, Stephen.
And happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving. So much to be grateful for. Enjoy your goose.
See you later.
It's better for the gander. Bye.
Bye.
Ciao. Well, that was a first, wasn't
it? I know,
that?
Right?
That was so fun. I've never eaten so much during a recording. I'm
By the way,
stuffed.
I ate in the first like 10 minutes.
I've never burped that much during a recording before.
Well, it's a nice color. It's a nice color. But wasn't that great? I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for you, Priyanka. I'm thankful for our listeners.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everybody. Until next time, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Don't worry. Be healthy. Bye.
Bye.
Hypochondriac Actor is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenogle and Lior Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriac Actor are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.